Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Nitai Gaur Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol Gaur Hari Bol. Jai Om Vishnu Pada Paramahansa Parivraj Gacharya Stotra Satashri Srimad is Divine Grace Abhay Charanarvinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnu Pada Paramahansa Parivrajaka Acharya Ashtotara Satashri Srimad is Divine Grace Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Thakur Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnavinda Ki Jai. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Nitai Gaur Primanandi, all glories to assembled devotees, all glories to assembled devotees, all glories to assembled devotees, all glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Continuing our reading from Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 1, Chapter 9. The passing away of Bhishma Dev, text number 49. Pitra Chanumato Raja Vasudevanumoditah Chakar Rajyam Dharmena Pitra Paitamaham Vibhu Pitra Chanumato Raja Vasudevanumodita Chakar Rajyam Dharmena Pitra Paitamaham Vibhu Pitra Chanumato Raja Vasudevanumodita Chakar Rajyam Dharmena Pitra Paitamaham Vibhu Pitra Chanumato Raja Vasudevanumodita Chakar Rajyam Dharmena Pitra Paitamaham Vibhu
Pitra Chanumato Raja
Mataji. Word-to-word meaning, Pitra, by his uncle, Dhritarashtra, Cha, and Anumataha, with his approval, Raja, King Yudhishthir, Vasudeva Anumodita, confirmed by Lord Shri Krishna, Chakara, executed. Rajyam, the kingdom. Dharmena, in compliance with the codes of royal principles. Pitra, father. Paitamaham, forefather. Vibhuha, as great as. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. After this, the great religious king, Maharaj Yudhishthir, executed the royal power in the kingdom strictly according to the codes and royal principles approved by his uncle and confirmed by Lord Shri Krishna. Purport. Maharaj Yudhishthir was not a mere tax collector. He was always conscious of his duty as a king, which is no less than that of a father or spiritual master. The king is to see to the welfare of the citizens from all angles of social, political, economic, and spiritual upliftment. The king must know that the human life is meant for liberating the engaged soul from the bondage of material conditions, and therefore his duty is to see that the citizens are properly looked after to attain this highest stage of perfection. Maharaj Yudhishthir followed these principles strictly, as will be seen from the next chapter. Not only did he follow the principles, but he also got approval from his old uncle, who was experienced in political affairs, and that was also confirmed by Lord Krishna, the speaker of philosophy of Bhagavad Gita. Maharaj Yudhishthir is the ideal monarch, and monarchy under a trained king like Maharaj Yudhishthir is by far the most superior form of government, superior to modern republics or governments of the people by the people. The mass of people, especially in this age of Kali, are all born Shudras, basically low-born, ill-trained, unfortunate and badly associated. They themselves do not know the highest perfectional aim of life. Therefore, votes cast by them actually have no value, and thus persons elected by such irresponsible votes cannot be responsible representatives like Maharaj Yudhishthir. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the first canto, 9th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Passing Away of Bhishma Dev in the Presence of Lord Krishna. Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnananjanashalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupaha Kadamayam ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम् वन्देहम् श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलम् श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपम् सागरजाताम् सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितम् तम् सजीवम् साद्वैतम् सावधूतम् परिजनासहितम् कृष्णचैतन्यदेवम् श्रीराधा कृष्णपदान् सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च नमः ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामीन् इति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामिने गौरत्विषे नमः हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिंधुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा Welcome all the devotees for today's morning Srimad Bhagavatam class. We are concluding this chapter, chapter number 9, the passing away of Bhishma Dev with this beautiful verse on Maharaj Yudhishthir. So, as I mentioned now, that this is the last verse of this chapter and this verse gives us the understanding of the purpose of this chapter. The purpose of why this chapter altogether came, the purpose has been achieved here. We all know before this chapter began, King Yudhishthir was in dilemma. The battle of Kurukshetra was over. The war was in his favor. And everyone looked at him to become the next king. He was the most awaited king. Yet Yudhishthir Maharaj had strong difference in his mind where in spite of the urging of Krishna, Lord Krishna, Vyasadeva, all his brothers, his elders, still Yudhishthir Maharaj felt very sad in terms of the whole war, the outcome, and so many people have lost their lives, and he felt he is the only responsible person for this entire war, which was not so, but being a very humble person, he felt so, and he was not ready to even take the kingship. And at that time, Lord Sri Krishna had arranged for him, along with his brothers, to go and meet the great grandsire Bhishma Pitama. Bhishma Dev was lying on a bed of arrows and he was also awaiting Krishna's presence before he could leave his body. So he was awaiting Yudhishthir Maharaj to come in the kingly vesha so that he could be very much confirmed that this kingdom is safe. And also decide to leave his body. So Krishna arranged two purposes through one act. But Yudhishthira Maharaj is going to Bhishma Dev. Bhishma Dev was glorified because he convinced Yudhishthira Maharaj. While though Bhishma was still lying on the bed of arrows, he instructed Yudhishthira Maharaj. This is what we saw in this chapter. And Yudhishthira Maharaj was very happy, pacified. Bhishma Dev left his body. Just few hours back, we saw the great journey of Bhishma Pitama achieving perfection. And now we are seeing the second purpose, that is, Yudhishthira Maharaj should take the kingship. So this particular verse reveals that the purpose of Krishna to send Yudhishthira Maharaj has been achieved. So three verses before, Krishna's purpose of liberating or giving perfection to Bhishma was achieved, and now Krishna's whole purpose of making sure that Yudhishthira Maharaj becomes the king has also achieved here. So here it is mentioned that Yudhishthira Maharaj started ruling. How did he rule? He ruled strictly according to the codes and royal principles approved by his uncle and confirmed by Lord Shri Krishna. So this is a glimpse of Maharaj Yudhishthira's kingly reign after the battle of Kurukshetra. This chapter ends here. There is not much description about how he went on to rule. But if you go to the next chapter, in the next chapter, essentially Suta Goswami is asked by Shaunakadi Rishi that what exactly happened during the rule of Maharaj Yudhishthira. Was he able to rule very easily, or did he still had enemies? And then in the next three verses after that question, Suta Goswami gives a beautiful description of how Yudhishthira Maharaj ruled. So I could say that this is a trailer verse before the actual chapter of how the verses series of how Yudhishthira Maharaj ruled this kingdom, which was all, people were all looking for Yudhishthira Maharaj to rule this particular world. Can you make this little more treble? It's too bass. Thank you. So Prabhupada says in the purport, little more. So Prabhupada says, thank you. Prabhupada says in this purport that Maharaj Yudhishthira was not a mere tax collector. Prabhupada says that Maharaj Yudhishthira was actually the father-like personality or guru-like personality for everyone in his kingdom. And then he goes on to explain that Maharaj Yudhishthira took care of his subjects, not only social side, but even the political angle, where the boundaries were safe, the economical side, where everyone was engaged properly and they got their source of living, as well as Maharaj Yudhishthira was also focusing on their spiritual side. And what was the spiritual side? Maharaj Yudhishthira planned very well that all the living entities in his kingdom who were all engaged in this material world. So he had plans where all the conditioned souls in his kingdom, those who were engaged, did get a chance to get liberated or achieve perfection of life. So this is a perfect all-round government of Maharaj Yudhishthira. Then Srila Prabhupada says in his purport that monarchical government is better than democracy or other things. Especially monarchical government is best when they have a trained king like Maharaj Yudhishthira. So monarchy is better than democracy, provided there is a good trained king. Otherwise anything in this material world could not be all good, cannot be all bad. It all depends on circumstances prevailing in those situations. So monarchy is definitely the best, better than democracy, but there has to be a trained king like Maharaj Yudhishthira. When Maharaj Yudhishthira is a trained king, everyone in the land will be happy and they will be cared for. So we see throughout Maharaj Yudhishthira's whole life how he proved as a best example of an upcoming king. It was not like there was no choice, best use of bad bargain, that Maharaj Yudhishthira became the king. In Kali Yuga, more or less, we have best use of bad bargain. But in the
in this particular era where the Pandavas stayed, Maharaj Yudhishthira just came out as the best of all kings. Like I was discussing with few devotees, and we were analyzing that, if you see the whole battle of Kurukshetra, it was Arjuna who was the hero of the whole war, right? So Arjuna was the best archer, Krishna was with him on his chariot, and it was Arjuna who won the war in one sense. He is the first one, second is Bhimsen. They are the one who won the war for the Pandavas. So in Kali Yuga rule, Arjuna should become king, right? In Kali Yuga happens like that. Someone is very good in something, then you make him the leader. Like one Shyamantra was mentioning in one of his class, that somewhere down the line, somewhere in Europe, there was one country where the government was not doing well. So there was one football match happening in that country. And there's one particular striker, football striker, who scored many goals in that particular match. And he won that country, the match. So everyone in the stadium shouted, make him the president. Make him the president. As if shooting goals would be happy, you'll be the best person to become president. But today's age is what people is a person, is a good actor, make him the king. He's a good dramatist, he's a good sports person, make him the king. See in the case of Krishna and see in the case of all the administration, Maharaj Yudhishthira did not fare well so much in the battle of Kurukshetra. He was not the best of all the archers or best of all the warriors of Kurukshetra battle. But he became king on his own qualification of being the king. He knew very well what it takes to rule a kingdom. And Arjuna and Bhimsen very well knew that Yudhishthira Maharaj should be the king. There was no fight between them. They don't know who is going to be king. Why not me? Why not him? Why should he, you know? Even though there was a great blemish on his part, Yudhishthira Maharaj, just before the battle of Kurukshetra, made a goof up, in one sense, of losing the gambling match, where everything was given away. But yet the Pandavas, all of them, including Draupadi and Kunti, were very clear and sure the king should be Yudhishthira Maharaj. Why? Because Yudhishthira Maharaj had those qualities, right? There are so many qualities Yudhishthira Maharaj showed in his life, where he was very steady, where he was very, very magnanimous, adhering to truth, knew very well what is dharma and adharma, even in dire situations. The very word Yudhishthira means sthir. Sthir means one who is very focused or very maturely stable. Yudhishthira means even in the battlefield, what to speak of normal circumstances. Even in dire circumstances, even on battlefield, we can expect him to be a very stable person and take wise decision. That's by name Yudhishthira. Right? So Yudhishthira did play a very major role in the whole of Mahabharata, in terms of his great qualities of piety. In fact, he was so truthful, he never ever lied. Except one time where Krishna asked him to lie. Otherwise, in his whole record, he had never lied. Which is very difficult, right? Never lie. Even in difficult situations, he was hesitating to lie. And Krishna made him to lie. So he agreed to that. But he was hesitating because he was never having an idea of even lying. And because of this, even while he was living on the earth planet, as a so-called mortal being, he had the qualities of great demigods. When Yudhishthira Maharaj's chariot would be driven, his chariot would never touch the ground because he was such a truthful person, such a pious person, which no one else had this qualification. Which Yudhishthira Maharaj's chariot, he was like going... And the Mahabharata mentions when he did lie in terms of the time when Dronacharya had to be removed, had to be killed, and Krishna told him that, you know, we are having this plot, trick, we are going to inform Dronacharya that your son is dead. So Bhimsen, he killed one elephant whose name was Ashwatthama. And he shouted, Ashwatthama is killed, Ashwatthama is killed. And everyone was celebrating on the Pandava side. Dronacharya was told, your son is killed. I don't believe them, you know. I will ask Yudhishthira Maharaj. So he saw Yudhishthira, what do you say? So Krishna told Yudhishthira, tell him that Ashwatthama is killed. He said, how can I tell him, you know? I never lied in my life. He said, okay, you tell him Ashwatthama is killed and I do not know whether it's elephant or your son. Ashwatthama hata narova kunjarova. So he spoke that, and in the same time when he was about to speak Narova Kunjurova, Krishna arranged for a tumultuous sound of rejoice on the battle of Kurukshetra. As a result of Dronacharya did not hear the second part. Krishna could adjust all his devotees, right? He's expert in that. So Krishna wanted him to not get blemished, but yet he also wanted him to follow his order, so he could balance that. So that time his chariot landed on the ground, which was always on the above the ground. And it is mentioned, because he lied, therefore his chariot landed on the ground. But devotees say that actually he hesitated to execute the orders of Krishna, therefore he... Because ultimately Yudhishthir Maharaj was executing truth. But bigger than truth is the absolute truth, right? Krishna is the absolute truth, and he knows what exactly truth is. Now, we are all following our own truths, which we think is truth. Everyone, like for example, if the police is punishing a criminal, the criminal thinks that he is truthful. Why they are punishing me? And the police thinks that he is truthful, that is his law, that is the order which is given to him. This land, this whole place where we stay, this material world is a very confusing place, because there are many truths. And if you hear every power party, you will be confused, which is the real truth. So the best truth is follow the absolute truth, right? So Yudhishthira Maharaj in this way had many beautiful qualities. So here in this case, how he did not lie ever in his life, he was very truthful. He was very subservient to the elders. He always respected the elders. Compared to that, Duryodhana would always disrespect elders, right? The first chapter of Bhagavad Gita, we see that how Duryodhana, when he saw this entire army of the whole Pandavas, he was taken aback. He thought these five Pandavas would get some meager army, because just now they have returned from the 13 years of exile. What they have? They have nothing. Even they wanted five villages, I have not given them. So what they will have? But he was very surprised to see seven Akshohani Senas. So with that surprise, instead of blaming himself, he put the whole blame on Dronacharya. That you have trained this guy, Drustadyumna, who is now the commander-in-chief of the entire army. So that was his mindset on his Gurujan, on his elders. Even he would criticize Bhishma that you are not fighting very strong, you have soft corner for the Pandavas. On the other hand, the five Pandavas were very respectful to the elders. The Mahabharata mentions Maharaj Yudhishthir, when the two armies were standing in front of each other about to fight, Maharaj Yudhishthir, in surprising his entire brothers, he got down from his chariot, removed all his armor, removed his astra shastra, everything, his helmet, walked down straight to the opposite army. And everyone is guessing, what's going to happen? What is happening? Even the Pandavas did not know. And the Kauravas, they were also, they were speculating. And Duryodhana must have been thinking, you know, that he's afraid of my army, so he's coming and surrendering himself. But Yudhishthira Maharaj came straight to the place where Bhishma and Drona and Kripacharya were there. And he offered obeisances to all of them. So that was like something new, and to be offering obeisances on the battle of Kurukshetra. He got down and said, please give us permission so that we can fight the war. And all of three of them, they raised their hands and said, Vijay Bhava. So Yudhishthira Maharaj, by his subservient nature, his humble nature, he won the heart of his elders. And that's why he won the war also. So this is the great nature of Yudhishthira Maharaj, how he was subservient, he accepted his elders, accepted their orders. In fact, Yudhishthira Maharaj never ever challenged his elders. We see many cases where it was a clear way of actually cheating or putting down Yudhishthira Maharaj, but he accepted it. We see the example of Dhritarashtra calling Yudhishthira and all the four brothers and saying that you have not taken vacation for a long time. Please go to Varnavrat and stay there. And Yudhishthira Maharaj could sense there has to be something wrong in this, because, you know, suddenly people who are against us have become now our well-wishers, you know, and that too Duryodhana is arranging this vacation place. But he accepted it and he went away. And later when Vidura sent this spy with a coded message, Yudhishthira was able to pick up the whole message, and they understood that this whole plot was to kill them. But Yudhishthira Maharaj just accepted the plot, right? And many places Yudhishthira Maharaj has accepted because the elders told him to do it. Like he was invited for a gambling match. Now it is said that because Dhritarashtra invited him, he could not say no because he was his elder father. His father's brother is also called as elder father. So he was like very subservient, accepted the whole idea. And Vyasadeva had already told Yudhishthira Maharaj that this is going to happen soon. They're going to invite you for a gambling match and you're going to fight that match. You're going to lose everything. And that will lead to the whole battle of Kurukshetra. And Yudhishthira Maharaj did not want to go for the gambling match. But he knew that he just cannot disrespect the order of Dhritarashtra. So while he knew that he was accepting the order, but he also knew that this is going to lead to a very major circumstances where two brothers, two families are going to come together and fight a war. So in spite of knowing, he gave more preference or more weightage to the power, to the order of Dhritarashtra calling him for a battle of gambling match. So, Yudhishthira Maharaj, one essential quality was, we can see from this, just before this verse, Yudhishthira Maharaj did not want to even become a king. It was not like Yudhishthira Maharaj was very eager to become king. That was never so. And that is the reason throughout the Mahabharata we'll find Yudhishthira Maharaj never making any move towards achieving a kingdom. Even after the 13 years of exile, 12 years of exile, 1 year of incognito agyatvas, when they came back, Yudhishthira Maharaj did not approach anyone. He himself went to the Dhritarashtra and said that, now we have come back. If you wish, you can give us our kingdom. So then Dhritarashtra consulted Duryodhana and said, we will never give the kingdom back. So Yudhishthira then went and told Dhritarashtra, we don't mind if you can give 5 villages because we are Kshatriyas, we need to rule. So this is how Yudhishthira Maharaj went so low to even just bargain with Dhritarashtra. But even when the 5 villages were not given, then Yudhishthira Maharaj had no idea what to do. Then Krishna intervened and Krishna said, I will try my last bet where I can go as a peace messenger and try to strike a deal of peace and at least get you 5 villages. When that also did not happen, then inevitable the war was fought. So this is how we can see he was actually not very keen to become the king. It was by Krishna's arrangement that he became the king. Even for all the yajnas which Krishna arranged, or where he was told to do yajnas like Ashwamedha yajna, Rajasuya yajna, all that yajna, it was actually pushed with a purpose for the welfare of someone. It was not for his own self, he had agreed for that. When the Rajasuya yajna was supposed to be done, so Vyasadeva told him that you should do Rajasuya yajna. And he knew very well Rajasuya yajna means you become the sovereign king of the entire earth planet. He did not want that. So Vyasadeva told him that you need to do it. But when he was not ready, then he told that through this yajna, you will get an opportunity to glorify Krishna, to do his Agra Puja. And then Yudhishthira Maharaj agreed for Rajasuya yajna. So there was a purpose behind every fame he took. It was some purpose of either some devotee involved, whom you have to glorify or help or provide welfare or please Krishna himself. So in this way, Yudhishthira Maharaj went on to Rajasuya yajna and in this way we can see that he was not interested in even any name or fame. Yudhishthira Maharaj was Samajana, that means he was always equal to everyone. It was not that he was favoring someone and he did not favor some other party. In the case of this great episode of Dharma, Yama, Raj, testing Maharaj Yudhishthir with that lake water incident, it is said that when they were exiled, the 5 Pandavas, they came across a Brahmana. And when they came across a Brahmana who was crying, so they asked, why are you crying? He said, I had collected some arni wood from the forest for my yajna. And I was tired, so I took some rest here. When I woke up, the Arni wood had gone, disappeared, someone stole it. So the 5 Pandavas said, we will take care of that. We will search your Arni wood and get you back. So in that search, the 5 Pandavas had gone ahead and they could not get those Arni woods and they had traveled deep into the forest. So it was all plan of Dharmaraj, who arranged for the Arniwood to be disappearing from the Brahmana's sight, inspiring the five Pandavas, five of them, to go for one Arniwood, one stock of Arniwood of a Brahmana. This is how they kept Brahmanas always high in stature in their life. And then we know that how they all became suddenly thirsty, and one by one all those five Pandavas, four of them went to that lake, and they were told not to drink water before answering this question, and they still drank and they fell down dead. So, and the end was Yudhishthir Maharaj. So when he went, he also was very thirsty, so he wanted to drink water. Then came the voice. Some mentioned it was a voice which came, or some say that it was some swan bird who just suddenly peeped in there and asked or warned him. So nonetheless, he said that, I am very thirsty, I need to drink water. He said, first you answer my question, otherwise your condition will be same as your brother's condition. So Yudhishthir Maharaj answers not just one or two, many questions. It's like someone is thirsty or hungry, doing a fasting, After fasting, the parent time has come. And you're about standing in the line of prasadam. And someone has Prabhuji baat karna hai aapse. Pahle prasad leta ho, baad mein baat karte hai. So here he was very thirsty, really thirsty, and then he still agreed to answer every question which was asked to him. So the end of the whole thing, Yamraj revealed that it was me who had come as Yaksha, who I am the guardian of this lake. I am very much happy, so I give you one opportunity. You choose one of your brothers who can get alive. Only one chance, one brother, you decide. And immediately, without thinking, he said, I want Nakula. He said, why you want Nakula? You're going to fight a battle of war later. You may require Arjuna's help or Bhimsen's help. Why Nakula? And see the dharma, see the righteousness. He said, see, my father had two wives. One is Kunti, another is Madri. So I am still living. My mother has me. But Madri's son, Nakul Sahadev, they are also dead. So at least one son of Madri should be living. So even dharma, so you see at this even tempted offers also, he kept on following dharma. That was Yudhishthir Maharaj's greatness. He always followed dharma to the point. We have one more incident where the five Pandavas were exiled along with Draupadi and they were in Kamyavan. And Duryodhan got an entire range of his army just to check what are the hardships the five Pandavas are suffering and to get enjoyment just seeing them in forest collecting fruits and stacking woods and burning fire and staying like that. So he came with his huge army just to show off. So while coming there, there was a lake in which a Gandharva from the upper heavenly planets, he was enjoying a fun with his own consorts. And Duryodhan, when he saw the Gandharva and the beautiful ladies, he decided he also wanted to enjoy with them. So he entered that lake. And the Gandharva warned, you can't come here, said he. I am the ruler of this planet, of this earth. He said, I deserve to be enjoying with everyone. So Gandharva became very upset and he took his weapons and there was a fight between Gandharva and Duryodhan. And within no time, Gandharva had captured Duryodhan and was about to kill him. And Duryodhan was, when captured, he started shouting for help. It is mentioned that that time the Pandavas heard the cry of Duryodhan. And Yudhishthir Maharaj went on to ask Bhimsen and Arjuna, go and check what's happening. So Bhimsen told that something good has happened. That this guy who is always tormenting here, who has come here to show off, so he's caught by the Gandharva, is about to be killed. So our job is done by this Gandharva. So Yudhishthir Maharaj said, no, you should go. Bhimsen and Arjuna, you go and protect him. Why should we protect him? And Yudhishthir Maharaj said that we are kings, we are rulers. Our duty is to protect people who are under us. And especially in the differences which we have, we should never forsake the idea of protecting people who are in danger. Especially now that he is our brother, he is in danger, we should go ahead and protect him. So Yudhishthir Maharaj was never having any hatred towards the Kauravas. Mahabharata mentions that Pandavas, especially the two ones, Arjuna and Bhimsen, took great vows to kill Kaurava. Dhritarashtra, Duryodhan, and even Arjuna took vows to destroy so many people, you know, Kaurava side. Yudhishthir Maharaj had gone through so much, he never took a vow to destroy anyone in Kaurava side. That's why it's called as Ajatashatru, having no enemy. Right? He was actually tempted so much, the whole Kaurava side was inimical towards him, but he did not bear any enmity towards the Kaurava side. So this was to the degree how we see Yudhishthir Maharaj having a great kingship, having the quality of a king who could rule his subjects based on magnanimity and compassion, and also being a righteous person, he could rule the kingdom very nicely. So there are many beautiful stories of Maharaj Yudhishthir going on beyond his circumstances and protecting his citizens. There's another story which is very famous in the Mahabharata, is the last journey of Pandavas towards Badrinath and going further ahead. And then we find that everyone who was following Yudhishthir Maharaj one by one fell. Right? Draupadi, Nakula, Sahadev, Bhimsen and Arjuna, they all fell. The only person remaining was Yudhishthir Maharaj. And then Indra comes there and said, you are now qualified to enter heaven. So Yudhishthir Maharaj turns around and he had kept a keen vision on one dog who was also following them. And everyone had left except the dog. So Yudhishthir Maharaj said, yes, I will come with you. And this is the dog who has followed me. Every one of my brother and my wife, they gave up me. But this fellow did not give up me. So how I can give up him? Said, you can't bring a dog to heaven. Right? Said, if you cannot go to heaven, I would not like to go to heaven. I'll stay here. So this is how his compassion was even towards a dog. So these are multiple times in the life of Yudhishthir Maharaj, he was tested by Dharmaraj, by Yamaraj himself, to check his virtues. And every time he passed with flying colors, right? So Mahabharat, based on the Dharma Artha Kama Moksha, mentions that Yudhishthir Maharaj had to go to heaven. But the Krishna conscious explanation of the Srimad Bhagavatam mentions that he went back to Godhead. But to show the whole idea going that he went back to Godhead through the medium of heaven. So he went there. So even at heaven also, Yudhishthir Maharaj was tested. And it was Krishna there who tested and show to the whole world how powerful, how great Yudhishthir Maharaj is. So they said Yudhishthir Maharaj, when he went to heaven first, he saw in the heaven, Duryodhan, Karna, everyone was in the heaven. So he was very surprised. But he thought, okay, someone who died on the battle of Kurukshetra, being killed there, they get opportunity to go to heaven, right? But he asked, where are my brothers? Oh, they are in hell. Why they are in hell? Oh, because of certain reasons, and I want to see them. So he was not interested in staying in heaven. They took him to hell, and there he could hear the cries of the four Pandavas, Draupadi, please help me, we are suffering. And Yudhishthir Maharaj immediately replied that even though I am qualified for heaven, I would like to stay in hell with my brothers and my wife. Said, I don't want to go to heaven where all the evils are sitting. Better I stay with righteous people in hell. And that time Krishna appears there and tells him that we were testing you. Actually, these are just cries in hell, but actually all of your brothers and your good wife, they are already gone back home, back to Godhead. And from there, Yudhishthir Maharaj ascends to the kingdom of Godhead. So this is how we can see Yudhishthir Maharaj had noble qualities of being very grateful, of very committed to his own devotee family. And there are many more stories of Yudhishthir Maharaj in this way, very tolerant, very subservient. And as Prabhupada mentions here, he was not merely a tax collector, but he was like a father. He was like a guru, taking care of economical, political, social, spiritual side of his subjects. So this is something about Yudhishthir Maharaj. I was thinking about, parallel to Yudhishthir Maharaj, there are so many wonderful kings in the Bhagavatam, which mentions about the great king rule. Parikshit Maharaj is one such example. wherein Yudhishthir Maharaj, his descendant Parikshit Maharaj, followed suit, and he exactly had the same kingdom. Can you imagine? Kali Yuga was afraid of Parikshit Maharaj. He was afraid to even enter, even though it was like his time to enter, but he was hesitating to enter, thinking Parikshit is the ruler, how can I defy his rule? So he had to take shelter of Parikshit Maharaj. That was Parikshit Maharaj's great rulership. And his tolerance, Parikshit Maharaj accepted the curse of an insignificant, immature Brahmana as something coming from Krishna, accepted it, left everything and went on the banks of Ganges to discuss what's most essential for a person at the time of death. So Parikshit Maharaj, Prithu Maharaj, and there are so many kings, Ranti Dev and King Shibi, all of them are very exemplary in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. Within the history of Bharatvarsha, we find so many great kings who are very, very religious, very pious. We have wonderful names. We have in our Maharashtra, Shivaji Maharaj, Vikramaditya, Krishna Devaraya, right? All of them were like great dharmic. They would always follow the great Brahmanas or the Vaishnavas and rule the kingdom. And therefore, they carried a legacy and they ruled the kingdom fully Krishna conscious. Can you imagine Krishna Devaraya? He was, when he was ruling his kingdom, that time great Vaishnava poets lived in his kingdom and they wrote great classical poetries and literatures. Kanakadas, Purandardas, they are the ones they always stayed in their kingdom and gave noble advice to Krishna Devaraya. In fact, Krishna Devaraya was consulting all these advisors, and he came to know that Pandharpur, where Lord Vitthala is established, Lord Vitthala is reigning, and that area is full of lot of danger. So there is a lot of danger to the deity of Vitthala. So he decided to build, duplicate or replicate Pandharpur in his own kingdom and get Vitthala there. Some places it is mentioned that Vitthal did come to Pandharpur, from Pandharpur to Krishnadevaraya's kingdom, and some mentioned before he came, then Lord Vitthal came in the dream of Krishnadevaraya and told him that I want to stay in my own place, Pandharpur is my spiritual abode. So we find that even up to some few centuries ago, we have great kings who had insights because they were thoroughly followers of Dharma. In one story of Shivaji Maharaj I recently heard, very beautiful. Very instructive. So Shivaji Maharaj was that time, like he was hiding and he was trying to rule and trying to defeat the Mughal Empire. So one time he was going through a forest with few of his people. So just near the outskirts of forest was one lady she was staying. She was widow and she had one or two children. And the children were very much hungry and they were shouting and crying, we want some food, we want some food. So the lady thought of going into the forest looking for a mango tree. It's mango season now. Looking for a mango tree and getting some mangoes for the children. So she went into the forest. She saw a mango tree and mangoes hanging. Now she could not climb the tree. So she took a big stick, hurled it and threw it on the tree. Now, she was not a good aimer, right? And just at that time, Shivaji Maharaj was going with his troop. And that stick went up, did not hit the mango, went and straight hit the head of Shivaji Maharaj. Shivaji was thinking, where the stick has come? So everyone was looking around, they found this woman and this army, a small army of Shivaji Maharaj, they became very angry. How can this lady throw a stick on the head of Shivaji Maharaj? So they went and summoned her in front of Shivaji Maharaj and said, Shivaji Maharaj, she is the one who threw the stick on your head. Shivaji Maharaj said, what were you doing? Why you threw a stick on my head? So the lady said, well, I didn't want to throw a stick on your head. I never saw you also. I was planning to get some mangoes for my children who were hungry. So I threw the stick on the tree and it accidentally hit you. So Shivaji Maharaj was very happy with the answer and he said, well, I don't deny that you are doing your great thing, but I am actually feeling myself very low that this tree is such a benevolent person that if you threw a stick at the tree, the tree would give you mangoes. But you threw a stick on and it hit me and I am not given anything. So tree is better than me. At least you threw something and you got mangoes. So that time Shivaji got down and said that at least you should pay her something, because you know, her attempt should not go in vain. She attempted to get mangoes, at least she should get something from us. And in this way, Shivaji Maharaj rewarded that lady with whatever wealth he had, thinking that at least I should be better as a human being, better than a tree. The tree can offer mangoes, I should offer something more better. So this is the example of Shivaji Maharaj, of how tolerant he was, and he was very magnanimous also. He did not mind being hit by a hit on his head by a stick, but he rewarded the lady for her activity. Recently, one devotee was mentioning about His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj in Belgaum. Many years back, Radhanath Maharaj had gone to Belgaum, and when he went to Belgaum, one devotee had invited all to come to attend Radhanath Maharaj's program. So, because so many devotees were going to come, so they had a big courtyard. So they put a Vyasasan in the courtyard, and the devotee was supposed to sit in the courtyard. So they put exactly Maharaj's Vyasasan under a mango tree. So Maharaj sat down and began Jai Radha Madhav prayers, and had kept his eyes closed. And just when Maharaj was singing Jai Radha Madhav, a mango fell from the tree, hit Maharaj's head and fell in the front of the audience. And everyone jumped on the mango. Mahaprasad of Maharaj, you know. Mahaprasad of Maharaj. And everyone was running, you know, who will get. The mango was going here and bouncing, and finally one devotee got and kept it, you know. And this devotee who wrote this, he told that, you know, no one is watching Maharaj hit by mango. Everyone is into mango, not by what happened to Maharaj. And Maharaj was singing Jai Radha Madhav, completely obvious what fell on his head. And after some time, as he began his talk, the devotee was close by and he realized that Maharaj had got a bump because of the mango fell on his head. But Maharaj did not know anything, Radhanath Maharaj. After the program, the devotee said, Maharaj, you have a bump on your head. So how that happened? So, one mango fell on your head. When? So when he was singing Jai Radha Madhav, I didn't realize. So Maharaj said, but what happened to the mango? Oh, devotees got it. Oh, that's very nice. Bump is okay. They got something. I don't know whether they got anything from a lecture. At least they got a mango from my lecture. So I was thinking that, you know, all great devotees and great kings, they are always least bothered about their own self. Every incident which can give pain to them, they see some benefit if that gives to other party. They are happy with that. So this is what we see throughout the whole gamut of great leaders in our society. They always accepted pains to give pleasure to their subjects. So that is the hallmark principle of a leader, that he accepts inconveniences to make others convenient or make facilitate other persons. I'd like to end with a beautiful story from Jaimini Mahabharat, which was once told by what's a devotee, I forgot, Gorgovind Maharaj's disciple, Madhavanand Prabhu, yeah. So he said a very beautiful pastime of Yudhishthir Maharaj's greatness, that even though he was a great king, but he was always very specifically subservient to Krishna and all the great Vaishnavas. So Rajasuya Yajna got over, and Yudhishthir Maharaj wanted to gift every single person who came for Rajasuya Yajna. So he told this idea to Lord Krishna, and Lord Krishna said, yes, you should gift everyone, whoever came to the Rajasuya Yajna. But Yudhishthir Maharaj, see his great benevolence, he said, I will give gift to everyone, there is no doubt about it, but I also want to know whether they were satisfied with the gift. How will I come to know? And when I heard this story, I was wondering that we are also accustomed to giving gifts to devotees, right? But we never go deep understanding whether they are happy getting the gift. We think that they are the enemies. At least I give a gift. At least I remember to give a gift. That's where our boundary stops, you know. But no, at least in my case, I would never think that whether he was happy with the gift I gave him, whether he is using it or whether he is happy. We don't go beyond that. But Yudhishthir Maharaj had come to Krishna saying that gift to dena hi hai. I have to give gift, but I want to also know whether they will be happy with my gift. So Krishna said, I will give you my conch shell. You start giving gift to everyone, I will keep my conch shell next to you. As soon as you finish giving the gift, the conch shell will blow. Which will mean that everyone is satisfied. If it does not blow, then someone is not satisfied. So Yudhishthir Maharaj is very happy. Chalo, he got confirmation, I will give gifts, and also get confirmation that whomever I give gifts, they are happy. So after Rajasuya Yajna, Maharaj Yudhishthir very benevolently gave gifts to everyone. And finally, when the last one was given, Yudhishthira turned around to the conchal, and the conchal did not blow. She was surprised. She said, that means someone is not happy. So he went to Krishna and said, the conchal did not blow, what to do? So Krishna said, well, there is one devotee who was not properly treated. So because of that, this conchal did not blow. Who is that devotee? There is one devotee who is from a very low caste. He stays outside city. His name is Swapacha. So you go, you tell Bhima and Arjuna to go and bring him here and feed him nicely again. So Yudhishthira said, yes, one devotee, one Vaishnava is not happy. I should get him back and I should make him happy. So Bhimsen and Arjuna go all the way out of the kingdom, look for that devotee Swapacha Prabhu and try to get him. And when he sees Bhima and Arjuna, he becomes very happy, offers obeisances, Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for coming. My obeisances, what brings you here? Now we want to invite you prasadam, me? For prasadam in your house, you are royal kings and you are all great devotees, I am a small person. So no, Yudhishthira Maharaj wants to bring you for prasadam. So he is hesitant to go for prasadam. But when Bhimsen said, no, you have to come, because Yudhishthira Maharaj wants it. So finally he reluctantly agrees. So they bring him to the house of Maharaj Yudhishthira. Meanwhile, Draupadi, she has personally cooked 10 to 15 items so that his devotee is happy. What happened is the whole story goes like this, that this devotee had come for Rajasuya Yagya, but he was such a humble Vaishnava, he thought that I should not go and eat with all these wonderful devotees. I am a low person. She was waiting for everyone to eat, and then the remnants, he went and he started eating. And that was the time the guards became very disturbed. What is this person coming and eating remnants? So they had told him, you go away from this place. So that's why he had gone away. And that was a dissatisfaction because of which the conchal did not blow. But now he was gone. He had come now in a royal assembly in the royal house. And he was one atithi. And Yudhishthira Maharaj had served him 10 items personally prepared by Draupadi. With Swapacha saw all these 10 items and he was confused. But he had to agree with the proposal which had come from Yudhishthira Maharaj. So he saw the prasad, 10 items. He mixed all the prasad together and started eating. Now, Yudhishthira Maharaj was taken aback, but he did not mind. The 4 Pandavas, others, they also did not mind. But Draupadi was watching and she was thinking, what was that? Can you imagine cooking 10 items separately and finally finding someone mixing all that, you know? So she was thinking, what kind of devotee is he? You know, he has mixed everything I prepared with all my labor and skills. She was little upset. So anyways, when the prasadam was over, Yudhishthira Maharaj saw the conchal. It did not blow. And the devotee went away. So Yudhishthira Maharaj asked Krishna, why did not blow? We gave him all prasadam now, one to one. So he asked, Yudhishthira Maharaj, when you saw him eating, did you have anything in your mind? He said, no, I didn't have. I saw him eating in a very different way, but I didn't mind. Okay, that's his style, no problem. And he asked all the 4 Pandavas, did you feel anything in your mind? He said, no. So while everyone has been asked, Draupadi was still silent. So Krishna turned, you had something? He said, well, I cooked all those items, and this fellow just came and mixed everything in his waiting service, felt very bad. So that is the reason that now the conchal was not blowing. So now you go and bring him. And Yudhishthira Maharaj, you ask him why you mixed. So you'll get an explanation. So again Yudhishthira Maharaj ran, got that devotee and brought him to his house, made him sit down. Everyone said, we want to know what was the reason, the higher reason of you mixing all the preparations. So Swapacha said that, well, this is prasad cooked by Draupadi and served by all of you. This was served to Lord Krishna. He has enjoyed this prasadam and this prasad has come to me. So I should honor this prasadam. But I have a mentality that I would maybe in these 10 items, I would like one item more than the other item. I may take second round in one item, I may not take more, you know. Example, it's very high stage, Hare Krishna. Good, we are discussing an Ekadashi, so we don't have to worry. So, I wanted to honor Krishna Prasad, that this is important, this is not important, it's a disrespect to the prasadam, so I mixed all the prasadam and ate. So the explanation was given, Draupadi came forward and offered obeisance and said, I'm very sorry, I felt very sad and unhappy about you, but now I see that you are a very elevated devotee. And they all came together and respected the brahmana, the devotee there, and that time the conch shell blew. So this incident shows how Yudhishthira Maharaj's life was so simple. Even though he was a great king who had just finished Rajasuya Yajna, he had became the most important and top emperor of the whole world, but he took time out to make sure that even one simple devotee somewhere on the outskirts is happy with him. You can just imagine if such kings are there in Kali Yuga today, what will happen? We would like to see people like this, these kings to be in Kali Yuga. But problem in Kali Yuga, they will not come. So better we don't stay in Kali Yuga, we'll go away from Kali Yuga. And sometimes as devotees, we expect too much in today's world. But we should know that the whole scenario is like that, right? So you can't expect too much. We do our business and go away. Srila Prabhupada was once sitting in his room. One devotee, a book distributor, came to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, I am praying to the deities that I should come life after life and distribute books. Prabhupada said, not required. He thought Prabhupada would be happy that someone is praying that he wants to do book distribution life after life. Prabhupada said, not required. Prabhupada said, ahead in Kali Yuga things will become worse. You will not be able to even distribute books. So distribute books, chant your rounds, perfect your life and go back to where it. Don't stay here. I'll arrange someone to do book distribution later, someone will come. You don't stay here for that. So expecting too many good things in Kali Yuga also is a big thing, because it's like, you know, expecting a lot, this age of Kali. So we do our bit, we do our spiritual life, stay with the Vaishnavas, and bear whatever the consequences comes in Kali Yuga, practice our Krishna consciousness, and yearn to achieve perfection by the grace of Guru and Krishna, and perfect our life. So with this we'll end our class. Thank you so much for joining today. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna.